and call out everybody's name, see who's here. Starting with Kelsey, who will be along here in about 10 or 15 minutes. She's running late. I'm Jay Chester, Vice Chair. Stacy's here. Can you say that? Can you say for yourself, Stacy? Okay. Stacy's still working on that. Barbara Anderson will not be here. John Spencer will hopefully join us a little bit later. Dave, you're here, right?
I'm here.
All right. And then Felix will not be able to attend today. So then we've got on the school district liaisons, Kayla's not here, but I see Nicole.
I'm here.
All right. And Parks Foundation, Delanne's here. And then guests that we have here today, we've got Rocky's in the house, Kevin Tyler. Anybody else? Have I forgotten? Okay. And as usual, Alexandra is running the show. So, all right. So we'll go from there. We don't have a quorum, so we won't be able to vote on the adopt any of the minutes from the 10th. And even if, let me see, if Stacy, myself, Kelsey gets here, that'll be three, Dave's four. How many board members do we have? Seven now? So, well, John Spencer. So if John Spencer chimes in, we're good to have a quorum. So anyway, Alexander, if we don't get it, we'll just adopt the meeting minutes next meeting. Go from there. All right. Gentle reminder to submit your volunteer hours. Keep that up to date, please. And that's a reminder to myself to do that also. All right, public comment. I believe we do not have any public comment. Is that correct, Alexander, still?
There were none received in the PAB inbox. We do have two attendees with us tonight. Looks like Jim Kautz and another person, David Sicamano. Sorry for the pronunciation. I can manually unmute Jim. It looks like they have their alert on to see if they want to make a comment.
So yeah. Want to speak and comment?
Jim, you're unmuted.
You might have been on double mute, Jim, if you can unmute yourself.
All right, we'll take that as a no.
Right. And I do not see Dave Sicamano.
Oh, Jim said that he has no comment.
Okay.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. All right. And we'll move into the manager's report. Kevin, you want to?
Yes.
Report there.
Can you hear me, everybody? Hopefully. All right, great.
We're good.
So I think we had talked about, for the manager's report, just giving an overview update on Legacy Lands and the Conservation Futures Fund and the various projects. So I'll just kind of give you a little bit of the background just to refresh everybody's memory. So we had a work session with council back in September of last year. And then following that work session, council directed us to work with Parks Advisory Board to evaluate some replacement projects for the bond, update the priority projects for our acquisition plan. And so then Parks Advisory Board met in February and March of this year to evaluate and rank projects and then recommend those for moving forward. And so those lists were used to finalize the draft acquisition plan. Rocky's been working hard on that. And then in July of this year, council asked for a work session specifically to talk about the Cedars Golf Course, and Public Works was directed to do some public outreach on that project. So we've been working on that. I wanted to share with you a website that we put together. So Alex, can you give me controls for just a second? Thank you. All right, let's see if I can do this. Okay. Are you able to see?
Yes.
The what should be the Parks Advisory Board website.
Okay, yes.
So if we scroll down to today's agenda, see Cedars Golf Course here. I'm highlighting it in orange now. This is a link to the Cedars Golf Course outreach website. Talks about the background of the project. Are we able to see this as well? Okay, great. So background of the project, project opportunities, some information about cost and schedule, and then how to provide comments. So there's an email address here that people can click on and send comments to it. You could also send it by mail or call us. There is also a heads up mailer that's going out to property owners within a half mile, I believe it is a half mile of the project. Rocky can correct me if I'm wrong about that, but I believe it was a half mile. So the heads up, same information included in the heads up, along with a map of essentially what we had discussed with council as alternative one. Sorry about the way this is presented here. I'm not sure if I can, yeah, there we go. We can rotate it a little bit to see. This is the golf course discussion that we've been having. That's the information about Cedars. And I will stop sharing maybe. If I can figure that out. So if there's any questions about Cedars, there's a way to submit information, ask questions, comments, things of that nature. Rocky and I will also be visiting with the Battleground City Council coming up on September 20th. Just another way to get the word out about Cedars Golf Course and to talk with the city about their interest in the project. And otherwise, in the meantime, staff worked on a work session request that went to council to give them an update on the Conservation Futures program and the acquisition plan that Rocky's been working on. And that will be considered tomorrow at council time, which is, if you're familiar with how council works, there's a work session on the fall supplemental budget tomorrow morning. Immediately following that, council will convene for their normal weekly council time discussion, and we'll get the word if they approve of the work session at that time, and then we'll find out when it's scheduled. We'll make sure that all of you know when that work session is scheduled in case you want to try to listen in or participate. And then I just wanted to give you briefly an update on some of the 2018 bond projects that we have been working on. So the Lewis River Ranch project, you all remember that. We've been continuing to negotiate with the landowner. And in fact, Rocky and I have a meeting with that individual tomorrow to continue discussion. Mason Creek, there were two properties that were attempting to acquire out there along Mason Creek. And it looks like we'll be closing on those in October or November of this year. Things continue to move as we had hoped. Rocky's been working to finalize those purchase and sale agreements and get those deeds to closing. Checked in with the Columbia Land Trust this week on the Optimus project. That was the project along the East Fork of the Lewis River near Lewisville Park. And they're nearing completion of the easement agreement. So they're coming to an agreement on what the easement will look like. And they hope to close by February of next year. I think we shared with you, but I'm not sure. Just wanted to make sure that we did share with you that the Yackel Burns forest project that the Columbia Land Trust is working on is, it looks like it's not going to move forward. Weyerhaeuser, they've been working on some negotiations with Weyerhaeuser, and it looks like that, you know, because it's a willing seller, willing buyer program, that's not it's not going to move forward at this point. So I know there were two projects on the list, one from the 2018 bond and one that was proposed for, I think they called it phase three. So it was phase one and phase three of the Yackel Burn are both projects that look like they're not going to move forward at this point. The farmland preservation project, Washington Farmland Trust is soliciting local farmers' interest level in taking on some farm preservation easements, and then they'll come back to us. And the conservation district is involved in that project as well. Come back to us with a list of potential properties. And then Lake River staff have started to identify potential properties for acquisition. So I think that's, other than that, the city of Camas did acquire the property along Lackamas Lake, and we've reimbursed them for that project. And I think that's it on Conservation Futures projects updates for 2018 bond. Next steps, as I mentioned, the work session, we will present the acquisition plan and an update on Cedars to council, hopefully in the next month or two, depending on when the work session is scheduled and assuming that we do get approval for that. Hopefully we'll have a hearing scheduled after that to formally adopt the acquisition plan. We'll close on Mason Creek this year, fingers crossed, and continue with our other high priority acquisition projects. Any questions? I know there's a lot of information.
Well, a lot going on.
Yeah.
I also want to note that Kelsey just joined us. Kelsey, can you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. So I just want to make sure that record reflects you're on and here.
Do we not have a quorum today?
We do not. We've got, we're missing Felix, Barbara. Stacy can talk, but she can't hear.
Oh, no.
And then John Spencer's not on yet.
Okay. Do we have any items to vote on?
Well, just the meeting minutes. And we can push those off to next meeting.
Okay.
Nothing earth shattering in there. So. All right.
Do we want to try Stacy again? I see that she's connected now. It looks like she's on mute. Alex, do you want to try and unmute her again?
Can you hear us, Stacy? Oh, now she's on mute again.
She gave the thumbs up that she can hear us.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Awesome.
She can use the chat function. She could vote that way as well.
Okay. Well, we've got four. We've got Kelsey, myself, Stacy, and Dave. So if we wanted to circle back and approve the meeting minutes, we can do that. We got 4 out of 7. My math is right. Yeah. We want to do that and we get that administrative function out of the way. So do I have a motion to accept the August 10th, 2021 meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to accept August meeting minutes as presented.
We have a second. Dave seconded. Second it. All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Or signify aye, Stacy. We can't hear you.
Looks like we have a thumbs up.
No, you did thumbs up. So any opposed? All right.
Hey, Jay, if we're doing administrative stuff right now, can I make a motion?
Sure.
Can I rabble rouse? Okay. I'd like to make a motion to contact the powers that be. I don't know if that's the county manager, or the head of public works, or whom, to get the Parks Advisory Board a different web-based platform. Because this is month 8 or 9 of this. We have technical issues all the time. We barely have quorums because we're having technical issues, and some people just give up and don't even try to get on anymore, and that's a detriment to our board being able to do its job. And I think you're starting to see that in attendance right now. Some of that is related to that. So let me make that into a cleaner motion, but that's just my reasoning behind it. So the motion is to request a different web-based platform to conduct meetings on for the Parks Advisory Board due to continuing technical issues.
Other than WebEx.
Other than WebEx. Can I get a second or an amen on that, someone?
You can probably get both. I think Stacy seconded it. And any further discussion, Dave?
I agree. Just be careful what you wish for.
Why don't they just switch to Zoom? It's so easy.
Yeah. And I know that one of the boards, I can never remember it, and I feel mean to my husband. He's on a advisory board for Clark County. They use Zoom.
So somebody's got it.
Yeah. Well,
the only thing with Zoom is you have to have an account, because if you use the free version, you can only go for 40 minutes.
No, somebody's got to have an account, and it's not that expensive.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm just saying that, you know, that's, I'm going to work through there. So, all right. So we've moved, we've seconded, further discussed. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Motion passes to ask the powers to be at the county to get the Clark County Parks Board a separate or different type of meeting platform. All right. Moving on. We've gone through the manager's report. We go to unfinished business. Looks like it's the Rocky show here. So, Rocky, I'll turn it over to you, and you can start with, well, either one, but Pro's Plan is the one that's first up, so.
All right. Everyone can hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Step one, always, right? For the record, Rocky Houston. I'm the Planning and Development Program Manager here for Clark County. And do I have control to?
Yes, you do.
All right. Just one second. Let me start my show. All right. Everyone seeing that?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. So we're going to talk about the PROS plan update. This has been about a 2-year journey for everyone. So I'll try to go through this. So just to back up, the planning process, as you all recall, was to start collecting data. We did a lot of survey work, completed. All that work's been done. We then started a kickoff. We went out virtually because of COVID and engaged with a lot of stakeholders, citizens around the county. And we continue to did that. We actually just on September 1st reached out to Developmental Disabilities Board to inform them what we've found so far, and again, gain information from them to help influence our plan. You know, through all that process, we come up with themes. Those themes in regards to goals and objectives for our planning process, and then those lead to projects and initiatives for us to move over the next 6 years. And so we've pretty much done that. You guys have been a big part of all that stuff. And now we're to the plan. So we've got to do all the heavy lifting and editing. This original draft, I think, was over a year ago, year and a half ago when it was presented, and then it's been worked on since then. There's been a lot of starts and stops, as you guys know, due to attrition, staffing issues. But essentially, we're trying to do is make sure that the functional elements of the plan align with the direction that we heard from you and from our staff, and more importantly, our patrons. So we're going through that process now, and we're to the point where it's the wordsmithing, the small little, you know, do we have the right figure address? Do we have those elements in it? Just that layout stuff. And so we're just about done with that. Sorry, it feels like it's 8 o'clock all of a sudden. What we're looking to do is there's other plans that you guys are aware of that are additive up to the PROS plan. So we got our capital improvement plan. We're working to get that adopted. We've got a draft of that being edited internally and hopefully getting that out to you guys as well on to the Planning Commission and get their review, because that capital improvement plan becomes part of the capital facilities plan, which then meets our growth management goals that the state outlines for us. The natural areas acquisition plan is another one, which is the conservation futures. It was formerly known as the conservation areas acquisition plan, but we decided that we want to make sure there's more alignment with the PROS plan and our other plans. As you guys know, we don't have a conservation area identified as a park type. We have natural areas. And so again, we want to make sure that there was that alignment to ensure we're kind of having the same language, the same themes throughout all of the planning documents that we have. And so again, that's going to be lined up to go forward and get it approved by county council. And then we'll get the PROS plan. Again, I have October 2021 here, but really that's the end of this month. So we've got about another 2 weeks. We have to have that ready to then be as part of the package to go out to the Planning Commission. We have a Planning Commission workshop scheduled for October 7th, and then a hearing on the 21st. We'll be back to you with the draft, and we'll get that draft out to you all to have opportunity to review. It's a few pages shorter than it was, so that's the yay component, but it's a pretty thick PDF document that you guys will have to review. We're looking to have it be electronic, just not to have so many printing costs. But again, if that is a hard copy, something that people would like, we can definitely work with you to get that to you. We'll get that for your review and recommendation, and then on to the Planning Commission, and then work with County Council to set that up for a work session and then a hearing for adoption. Pending all that occurring by January 2022, we'll have the comprehensive plan updated, which is outside of the RCO element, but is still a necessary element for us to move forward. And then lastly is to get RCO approval, hopefully in February, then will allow us to be eligible for all of their programs and be in compliance. So what I want to do is take a few moments just to kind of go over some of the, I think, the big things that I've modified, I think, since you guys last saw some of this, and that's the goals and objectives. My goal is really to provide a real concise goal and use an objective to kind of flesh out the details. What I was seeing is that our goals were big and robust and very inclusive, which is great. It's just that it doesn't roll off your tongue real well. And so, for example, for goal one for partnerships, the old one was forge and maintain strong public, private, and nonprofit partnerships to support the parks and recreation system. So I've refined that to forge and maintain strong partnerships, and then under the objectives, we're able to really flush out those different types of partnerships that we're trying to engage with. Same thing, communication promotion was already a great job. It was super concise, so we didn't have to do any wordsmithing or editing there. Developed parks, so the old one, as you can read. And the revision was to provide diverse recreational experiences. For trails, again, there was this lots of objectives put into the goal, but again, the idea is to modify it to be create a seamless trail system. Natural areas, the old goal. The new is to conserve significant natural areas. Heritage, preserve Clark County's heritage. I'm going too fast. Alex will let me know, I guess. She's the only one I can see right now. Equity and access, advanced diversity, equity, inclusion, and access to parks. And then finally, operations is maintain to improve experience and protect assets. So again, the idea is just to be very concise and then work through our objectives to flush out the details, and then our projects to really reflect and those initiatives to reflect the work that we're trying to get accomplished. The other thing that we've done is on the end in the action plan, the original draft talked about a lot of things, but there wasn't really a real connection back to those goals and objectives. And so again, trying to pull that and thread that all the way through the plan is taking those goals that we identified and then making sure that we've identified at least one action plan that we're looking to recommend. And so here for partnerships, the action plan recommendation is to increase those partnerships with local and regional recreational groups and to help build and maintain trails and other assets. For communications under goal two, it's to improve our website for recreational information the best we can, and also to pilot a QR code or similar system out in our sands so that someone with their smartphone can take a sign that says just a couple words and really expand upon it, whether it's from wayfinding or history or natural history information. For develop parks, master plan and develop Camp Bonneville. Definitely in the next 6 years, we'll get through the first part of that. Maybe we can get started on the other portions. Master plan and develop Brush Prairie Park. So there's one that would have been identified and moving forward. And then develop a nature playground. That was a key thing that came out through some of the survey work, as well as a hot topic around the nation in regards to playground types to sort of get No Child Left Inside initiative move forward. Yeah. For trails is to continue to expand regional trails and develop a purpose-built trail facility like a pump track, a skills course, free ride, depending on what the risk managers to let us do. But again, trying to have those niche trail facilities to help create a gateway for the other recreational trail opportunities here in Clark County and in the region. Natural areas, implement the, of course, now it'll be the natural area action plan. So there's a typo that I need to fix, but cutting and pasting from the document there. So that's the natural areas acquisition plan. And heritage, complete an interpretive plan for Camp Bonneville. So again, that'll be hopefully a component or an outcome of the master planning process to help people engage with that asset and its history. So for equity and access is to develop an inclusive playground, and we've already got one of those in the works. Actually, we'll start being constructed next year at Phillida. So there's a small inclusive elements in that that project, and then complete an ADA transition plan. And so again, is looking at our current assets, identifying where the issues are, and then developing a plan to ameliorate those conditions as we move forward over the next 20, 30 years. Then operations and stewardship is to really try to focus to integrate operation and maintenance components into the master plan. So we're gonna build this cool new whiz bang. It's gonna be the best park ever, but do we have this? Do we know what it's gonna cost us to operate that manually and factoring that into our annual budgets and our process so that we have the right staff mount, we have the right equipment, et cetera. You know, it's nothing worse than to build something and then not be able to maintain it. And some of the action plan funding strategies, you guys are probably more more versed in than I am, but is a levy lift. So our rates low, and looking to see if we should increase that levy lid so that we have additional resources to continue to operate and maintain the facilities we have. You know, I think that's going to be a real big issue for us in that a lot of our facilities are fairly new, and we're going to hit that wave where there's going to be a lot of deferred maintenance end of life span that's going to have to be addressed. Realign the greater Clark Park District boundary with the UGA boundary. So again, that would require a ballot measure and support. But again, that would allow us to not to continue to match the growth as it moves out in regards to our district. Capital renovation and development bond. This would be another potential to pull the concept to put out a bond for regional parks and trails. There's some things that our current resources don't allow us to do, and this would help us address that. Specifically, we don't have dedicated funding for our regional parks, unlike our urban park system. So this would be a tool there to go in and really update some of those assets. And then the PIF program update. So definitely the boundaries, the impact fee credits and rate structure, all those things are elements that have been out there. There's been a lot of inquiry on, and continue as a topic to move forward to council to see if there's any political capital to move any of these things forward. So these are all going to be meaty, exciting things to work on over the next 6 years. With that, I will see if there's any questions on the PROS plan update.
Okay, so any questions from anybody? Well, Rocky, I got two questions. One is, we had met, we being Kelsey and myself, and had met with the development engineers and land developers board talking about partnerships and PIF credits and items like that. And I don't know if any of the, having not seen your revisions, you know, any of that wording or any type of information like that got into the PROS plan. Now, I know you have down in the funding talking about PIF and that type of stuff. And maybe that's more of an apropos spot for it, but I will tell you that I believe if there's not some, I'll call it acknowledgement or high level language leading toward or, you know, being positive toward PIF credits, there's going to be some flack from the land development community and engineering community. And honestly, in the last meeting, and I don't want to bring up any scar tissue on Kelsey's part, but the last time we were in front of the county, we, you know, had the representative from the DEAB with us, and he verbalized that their goal is to roll back the PIF and the cost of the PIF. They want to reduce it. And, you know, not necessarily just by credits, but at some point in time, the rate. So just to give you a heads up on some flack you may or may not hear coming from the community. And Kelsey, I don't know if you want to follow up on that or anything else.
Well, and Rocky or Kevin can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we've been kicking this can for 5 or 6 years and we keep hitting some sort of wall because of code not allowing us to do it. Is that correct? And is that why we haven't moved on it? And if that is the case, has the county, have we as the Parks Department done a good job of communicating that to the development community?
Well, with my short duration here, I can't provide you the historical answer, but I do, the my understanding is that you are correct that we have to go out to vote to make those changes. So it has to go out on the ballot to be able to make any changes in PIF to have credits or to change the rate or boundaries or those things. And so that is something that we'd have to get approval from county council to move forward on. In regards to the communication to our partners out there, you know, I'd have to defer to Kevin on that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would generally agree with what Rocky said, is that there's, at least in digging into this, that there's steps that need to be taken related to comprehensive plan and county code changes and things of that nature that just take a little bit longer period of time that we couldn't fit into updating the Parks and Recreation open space plan, because that had its own timeline and a deadline of, you know, we're targeting before the grant season next year, March. In terms of communicating that with the development community, you know, I don't know if there's been any discussion in the time that our former parks manager was involved in working on this. So I believe that the planner that worked on this prior to Rocky being hired, I believe that that individual did involve the Development and Engineering Advisory Board, at least some of that membership in the development community, in our public outreach. So that's as far as I think it's gone at this point.
Kevin, this is Dave, and I guess Rocky also. I think what's happening is people are just getting frustrated. It almost feels like it's hearsay every time this topic comes up. I've been pushing on this for the entire time I've been on PAB and before that. I would appreciate if, you know, whether it's the county's council, if it's the attorneys, whatever it is, if there was like a method to do this and it was written down with these are the steps that have to occur, that way everyone is on the same page. Because like this was the first time I heard it have to go out to the county for a vote. Before this, it was just council had to approve it. So I just think that it would be really nice for everyone involved to show that we've done something over the last 5 years, that at least we have a list of this is how we go about doing this process.
That's a good point. And definitely I've taken those notes on that, as well as that communication out back to the developers and the engineering and development board. I'll get the acronym wrong, I apologize.
That's Deep. Appreciated, because that's the biggest thing. That's the easiest way to keep them off our backs, is to be able to say, here is the plan, we're working on the plan. It can only go so fast.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes things are set up just to not make change real quick. It's just the way how governments do set things up to make sure there isn't that political wind. You know, there's me. You know, let me get off my soapbox. But and if you get back to the original question, you know, I wouldn't say that the PIF credits or PIF changes are like the theme throughout the plan, but definitely I believe in the first early chapters where we're collecting information and talking about it. We've talked about that in the first two chapters and then introduced it back in at the end when we were talking about steps to move forward. So, you know, it's there throughout the document. So I think hopefully individuals can see that we reached out, we heard, we've collected the data, and, you know, and this is the first step again into moving that conversation further for the county, and all that feedback from others definitely is input to determine if there is their will to move it forward.
I'm kind of with Dave on this. I mean, it's not a good look for PAB when we, you know, did that big reach out in anticipation, like over 2 years ago with Deeb, to try to make this a reality. And, you know, Parks has experienced just constant turnover. And so Rocky, you kind of, this landed on your plate without any time for you to have the mechanisms in place we needed to, but it feels like we have an excuse every post plan. This is our second of why this wasn't included, and we had buy-in from the county council and we had buy-in from the development community, and after a lot of discussions and back and forth and compromise, you had buy-in from the PAB. And so I just really feel like somehow we need to make this a priority The next post plan, and to, like Dave said, we need it written down. We've never seen it as the PAB written down what the steps are. And, you know, from what we've been told in the past, it's a code change, and then, you know, council has to approve and into the comp plan. And then I think we need someone to write this down, and it looks like we need to be actively working on it, because this kind of gives the PAB a bad reputation of, it looked like we went through this false theatrical play with Deeb of, yeah, we care what you're saying, and then we didn't include any of it in the post plan. And so we need to communicate with them why we didn't get it in, I think, and what the actual steps are to make us look like, yes, we agree with you, we've just had issues with trying to make it happen.
Right. And just to clarify, you know, is that this is in the plan. So we are talking about the PIF and those changes. So those are in the plan. It's just not an actionable item because it has process to go through still. So I just want to clarify what I heard, make sure I'm hearing what you said correctly.
We understand that we were just, you know, we had hoped together that the mechanisms were in place for potentially a developer to build a park that met park standards for Clark County, and for us to give them PIF credits based on standards our board had developed. And, you know, COVID and staff turnover, I think, just really threw a wrench in that plan. And so just, you know, and having, I don't want to say bargaining, but almost in bargaining with them in good faith, someone needs to be relaying that information to them, that we didn't just ignore and dismiss their issue.
I agree with you guys, and we'll work to draft two things, like I said before, that communication back out to that board and the community, and to clarify exactly what that process is to move forward for any changes to PIF. And
that would be excellent.
Yeah, that would be super. My other question was, or my other statement is, when you said the data is being collected, there was much discussion among the PAB and the previous parks director about who that data was collected from, if you will. When you know, there were two methodologies, I believe, used. One was, because of COVID, we went out and had a survey, and the survey, as you well know, probably Rocky, you're a veteran of multiple surveys, you know, that usually the respondents are folks that are retired, have time to fill out the survey, sit down and think about it. And those are usually folks that maybe use parks, but don't have a family use of parks, if you will. And I'm trying to be very careful the way I say that. And then the other folks, and I was in two conference calls or Zoom meetings with lots of minority leaders in the community. And I don't know how that information got, that was collected in those meetings, was, you know, transferred or translated into the PROS plan. So when you say the data was collected, I think that's as good as you can say, but if somebody was to peel that layer back a little bit, there might be some questions and some discussions. So just.
Right. And I don't believe we used a double random calling to get out to make sure that, you know, that we're hitting the level of a SCORP data or something like that. But the point's well taken is that, there are all kinds of biases in surveys and the data collection. And I think the format that was utilized, to your point, is to have that big general, as well as some of those very tight user groups, partner groups, all kinds of different groups to get into some of those smaller sections who may not have engaged in that format. And, you know, and I think we've peeled back and have some deliverables there and some data and synthesis of the data that looks good, and I think gives us some things to work on. Now, it's a plan, right? So it's only as good as we implement it. And if we're not implementing, you know, if it's not working exactly right, we're not held to every word in that darn plan. So we can continue to move forward and do what's right for our users in the department, you know, just because it says we're going to build 49 parks, it doesn't. But if it did, you know, if we don't have the money, we can't implement it. Same sort of thing. So, but, you know, I think that's a good point. I think that's really for us as we move forward through the next 6 years to see as if we are, if the scoring criteria we have for our capital projects is helping us move funds and projects into areas to meet some of those things. Again, not to have this a one time every 6 years, raise our hand and say, hey, what do you think? But again, to continue to try to figure out how do we engage and continue to move forward on a project park by park level and those other things. So we can continue to stir the pot, you know, make sure that the things are still there so we can move forward and it's still an equitable product in our parks for everybody. And it's tough. It's tough.
You don't have an easy job and to wheel this around and from where we last heard about it to where we are now and that you've got a nice timetable there. I wish you the best of your efforts because I think it's a little aggressive, but you know, you're the professional, not me. So I'll stop with that.
Well, it's not going to be perfect, you know, but gosh darn, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and, there you go. That's a great approach. All right. Any other comments on the pros plan? All right. Thank you very much, Rocky. You've got the next item.
Yes.
This is the capital facilities program and policy. Boy, you just got all the fun stuff this meeting.
Yeah. You know, I heard that, you know, we needed to have a longer meeting. So, you know, I'm trying to do that for you, but sorry. All right.
No problem.
I have a funky sense of humor. So for our CIP capital improvement plan update. So here we are. Let's see. Let's jump into this. So a capital improvement plan, just to back it up, is it's a 6-year plan, much like a pros plan. There's a 1 year that's real. It's the budget for the next fiscal year. And there's a 5-year forecast of what we think we're going to be able to do. Typically, the process starts a year and a quarter, you know, 15 months in advance of having it finalized, where we go through an inventory condition assessment. So we identify what do we have, what is this condition, and then we identify projects as we're out there looking at that. Oh, that roof's bad. Oh, that sidewalk's cracked. Oh, hey, there's a big pothole. Hey, what happened to all that pavement that was in this area? You know, all those sort of things. And we identify those projects. Then we take our rubric, our scoring mechanism to prioritize those projects. And from there, we refine the scope, identify what really needs to be done, what is that actual cost, and then kind of develop that into an annual budget for our CIP. In Washington, excuse me, this is new to me, being from Oregon, is that there's a capital improvement plan, but then that turns into a capital facilities plan. So we take that and it gets condensed down, and annually we present that to the planning commission to meet our something growth. I can't remember the Kevin will help me out here, but the requirements.
Growth Management Act.
See, I knew he was there. Thank you. Growth Management Act. you know, and the procedures, and I think you guys worked on the scoring. We've looked at it. And again, I went through the lens of what our objectives and goals were in the pros plan and tried to make sure that our scoring criteria matched it as best as we could. It's an objective tool to look at subjectivity. So as such, it's always a little fun. But so we developed a scoring rubric by project type, and then we've come up with a process to try to figure out how do we manage an emergency project. And then once we've got our list and our refined draft plan, then we're gonna bring it to you to review and see if we're on target and get feedback, modify it, and then move it forward through our budgeting process. So First, we're going to look at the different project types. So the first category we have is preventive maintenance. So these are projects that extend the useful life of an existing asset. Generally, a contractor does this. Our staff does a lot of this work as well, but again, we're not categorizing and looking at it from a capital perspective unless it's starting to create a real cost. And usually it's under $100,000. So again, the examples could be a new roof on a restroom. We have a water line that we need to get replaced. Or, you know, we're putting an overlay of fog seal and oil coat on top of pavement to extend its life for pennies on the dollar. The scoring rubric looks at these five categories, and each one has sort of a 5-point Likert scale for each of them. So there's the condition. So, you know, are people going to die if we don't make this repair versus, you know, it's just starting to look a little old. Park user impact. And park user impact is looking at a lot of different things. A lot of that is the diversity, equity, inclusion elements. And so we're looking at all those Title VI sort of elements in regards to all sort of diversity elements. We're also looking at this asset park, the recreational uses, what is its impact? So if this is the only unicycle mountain biking facility in Washington, you know, it's going to have a higher value than if it's just one more grassy picnic area, you know, that we've got hundreds or thousands of. So it's sort of just to kind of help evaluate that. There's a strategic return on investment or leverage. So again, it's what is that return we're going to get for doing this work? Do we have grant funds that are going to make it help us? Is there going to be, you know, some sort of something that people are going to pay for? And then that helps offset our future operational costs. There's the operational impact. So how is this helping staff and the maintenance staff to do their job and to be more effective? So if we put in rubber tiles over a playground, that is a high cost up front, but maybe that would then take away to we're not out there every year replacing chips. And so now we're able to take those hours and put it towards some other task. And then the stewardship impact. So what's this impact on the environment, on the area around it? Are we using sustainable elements, all those elements, which all these scoring elements seem to be very reflective in regards to the goals and objectives in the PROS plan and talking with staff. So that's where we went to move in this way. Major maintenance. Our projects that renovate, restore, replace an existing asset over $100,000. So essentially this is taking an existing asset and we're going to just replace it. So we've got a restroom. It's 49 years old. We're in there every other week replacing restrooms and toilets. Now, I could think of a couple parks maybe that we have out there that meet this criteria. This is going to put in a brand new building and start fresh and new. So things would be like Louisville's office and shop out there. It's a couple days old, you know, putting in a whole brand new office or shop out there. Did that go funky on you guys too? There we go. So maybe we have a stabilization of a riverbank where we have a trail right next to it. So again, it's a major maintenance. It's going to help leverage that where there's not future damage and taking away those recreational assets. So again, the scoring rubric's the same elements down below, just applied to this task. Development is new. So, you know, that's enhancements. Those are the new park stuff that we're doing, a brand new park, brand new playground. So the Cozy Camp neighborhood park that's being developed next year, the flight overflow parking and playground development, the disc golf course being constructed, all those are those new assets that are coming on board to meet that recreational demand. So again, we're looking through all those elements to rank these projects as we move forward. Emergency repair projects. So these are unique in that we have our plan, but stuff happens. And so this project would be narrow and focused just to address ameliorating a significant risk to the public or damage to asset to the environment. So if there's a landslide in Louisville Park Access Road was gone, this, we have a mechanism to where we would be able to reassess our capital needs to address that within our funding. And, you know, again, those are hopefully never happen, but again, we're trying to think the what if game. So if there is a way, we have a way to go back through, utilize Parks Advisory Board, Public Works Director, et cetera, to shuffle things around to make make that emergency repair. And lastly, no, we have one more after this, but acquisitions. So as we're acquiring new park properties, new legacy lands, and right away, all those things, again, we have a way of trying to score that into. And again, I got a typo in here, conservation areas, it's now natural areas acquisition plan. But again, we're looking at those priorities that have been identified and looking at the other elements that we have requirements for. So whether that's within the PIF districts, those recreational needs, et cetera. So again, we're trying to do is making sure as we're peeling back and before we're firing, letting that arrow quiver that we're on target and we've got plenty of meat in recent decision-making of why we're going in the direction we are. And that helps on both sides. And the last thing is vehicles and equipment. So most of our vehicles and equipments are through our own end budget. So we're leasing vehicles, we're acquiring tractors, we're doing those things. But every once in a while, we need something new. Or gosh darn it, we had in our sinking fund $12 for this new tractor, but it's $14. So we need to have that extra $2 for our out of the capital budget to do things. So this is a way to help us assess the equipment we have. Is it the right stuff? If we're going to be putting something on, we have a way to, again, score it out and review it to make sure that we're being planful in making those new investments in equipment. So again, if you're a flowchart person like me, you know, this we do our inventory, we identify the park and the type, we prioritize it and we're scoring it, identifying what kind of money and all the different funding streams. We're scoping it out, so a plus or minus 30% budget to define the work. And then we bring that draft plan to you for review and to make sure we're on point and then move it forward to council through our budgeting process. Timeline wise is typically in early fall. So about October 1st is when we start doing our inventory. After once the leaves start to fall, that's a good time to get out there, get a little rain so we can see if there's leaks in the roof, little things like that. We identify and refine that list through the mid-fall, late fall. We'll be prioritizing it, we'll be scoping it in the winter, and then hopefully we've got a CIP that's matching the beginning of our funding or our budget preparation time. Now there's always going to be a little wiggle room in that, but again, it's a general timeline to kind of things set up. You know, it's all about the money, right? So we have all these types and things. And so I looked at kind of what we've been spending money on and kind of pushing that forward into how things line out. So right now by category, preventive maintenance is only 3% of the proposal or what kind of we've been spending on, but it is costs less. It's a lower cost element to do a lot of there's a lot of bang for buck, so to speak. Major maintenance right now is a small percentage. I think it's reflective again of a lot of our urban parks are fairly new, and so this number is going to be creeping up. Development right now, this next year we've got 4 big projects that are going out to construction, so it's definitely eating a big chunk of the budget. Acquisition, we've got the bond and legacy land elements that we've got to get addressed, and vehicle equipment's a small. Putting that in dollars and cents a little bit here. Again, these are very conceptual draft numbers, but looking to put about $300,000 into preventive maintenance a year. So that's pavement preservation, structural preservation, vegetation management, hazard trees, those sort of things, and park amenity preservations. So the bucket for this is, you know, roughly around $300,000. And then major maintenance, don't have any projects identified yet, but It's about 700,000. And this is reflective of about the $1 million we've been budgeting for these type of projects in the last few years. And so just taking that forward and refining it because the CIP is gonna be an iterative process. We're gonna continue to learn and grow and really ratchet things down, identify if we're just putting the money in the right spots to get things moving forward. In regards to our development projects, so over the next 6 years, you know, we've got Flida, Hawkinson, Cozy Camp, Harmony Sports Complex over the next couple of years, Camp Bonneville, Master Planning, Curtain Creek Park, Salmon Creek Community Club Neighborhood Park. That's a mouthful, which would be a planning process, then into P&E, permitting and engineering, and then construction, and then Pleasant Valley Community Park again, and Cougar Creek Community Park at the end. So those are the projects we've identified or have obligations to already and are in the works moving forward over the next couple of years. I don't have anything in the acquisition plan because we do have the natural area acquisition plan, and some we're still working to determine where in our PIF districts acquisitions are a requirement and there is an obligation versus just trying to identify where the recreational need. And I'm going to step back off of that in regards to the PROS plan. So part of what Galena and others had done is really trying to look at our level of service and a way of reflecting that. And so using GIS and where our parks are and other tools of information where we think development is going to occur, all this really cool data, we're developing this heat map that's going to be able to show within our urban area those hot spots where there is parks are more than a quarter or half mile away, you know, from a walkability perspective for the neighborhood parks, 3 miles away for community parks, and really be able to focus in on those areas where we need to place a park for those acquisitions and future development. And so I think it's kind of a real cool tool, hopefully, fingers crossed, to put up on the screen, and we can all really quickly see, yep, we need to park here, 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 and there. And then it's just figuring out how do we find some property in that spot. So I forgot to talk about that earlier. And then vehicles, again, it's about $50,000 we're identifying for that gap that we talked about. So that's the CIP update. I will take any questions you have at this time.
All right, the floor is open.
I have a question. So I'm encouraged by the hot spot and trying to figure out what underserved neighborhoods need parks. So are we applying that sort of lens and a DEI lens towards the actual capital improvement? Since I've been on the board, we've had a tendency where certain neighborhood associations are stronger than other neighborhood associations. And we have issues with squeaky wheel gets the grease because we have not had mechanisms in place for neighborhoods who aren't as organized to maybe get some resources that are more badly needed. So from a capital improvement stance, are we going to be focusing on making sure those underserved neighborhoods are not jumped over by overserved neighborhoods?
Yes, that's the goal. So I'll put my little caveat there. So the park user impact element in that scoring criteria is really a focus to try to do just that. So I don't have the document right here, my fingertips, negligent. But again, it's looking at the poverty level. It's looking at the diversity level, racial diversity, all those sort of elements, language, percentages from the school districts and those schools. So all those are a metric that's used to raise that score. So that is a way to help offset the squeaky wheel, so to speak. And so it's just one of the five scoring elements. But again, it's you know, that's 20%, and that can make or break a lot of projects from from my experience. So it is, it's in the background, and what I'll try to do is get our draft scoring three, breaks that down to you guys. So you're able to review that along with the pros plan here in the next 30 days. So before this next meeting, you'll have some of the meat to review document wise, not just the overview, to kind of help see how that all comes together.
That would be great, because I feel like that is one area Clark County has been woefully behind on, and I'm encouraged that we're making those adjustments to prevent that future. So well done. Good job, staff.
Thank you. Staff does a great job here.
All right, any other questions or thoughts? Well, look at that. Rocky, I think you're done. You don't have anything else under unfinished business.
Well, let me stop sharing my screen if I can remember, figure out how to get this screen up. Or is it already stopped sharing? Did you already take care of that, Alex?
I did.
Thank
you. All right.
I'll mute myself now.
Once again, Alex is at the helm. All right. Next category is new business. And Kelsey, you had this on there, expiring board terms.
Yes, I did. Sure. So I think myself, Dave, Jay, and Barbara, our terms are expiring in December. And I just want to announce that I personally am not going to be renewing my term after lots of thoughts, for a variety of reasons. I started a full-time job with the school district that's keeping me really busy. Jay and I had a pretty stressful summer as co-chairs that I think burnt me out considerably. That didn't kind of trickle down to the whole board, but definitely, zapped my energy, and just some of the things we've touched on tonight, you know, that we've been talking about for 7 years. And, you know, it's not park staff fault. It's just, I'll blame the powers that be again. We're not getting park staff sort of the support and funding to really make some of these things that we've been talking about for years a reality. I mean, we're behind on ADA accessibility. We're behind on our DEI lens. We still have general fund parks in the MPD, and we're talking about raising the levy. So I'm tired of fighting those fights. I just don't have the energy to anymore, and I want to make space for someone who can. So I'll just angrily volunteer in parks by pulling Ivy and Himalayan Blackberry out on park property to still help out in that regard. So. We just wanted to put that on people's radars, remind those who have expiring terms that they do have a decision to make coming up. And I think Megan Reed is going to start recruitment in October, Kevin. Is that what we decided?
Yeah, I think we decided that it would be towards the end of October, knowing that we would, you know, need probably the good portion of November to get it done and then make recommendations, and knowing that you probably don't meet in December, so we want to do it ahead of that.
Correct. So that is the spiel on that one. So, but I love you all, and like, this has been an amazing 7 years, and I you know, I will still stalk you and also annoy you with emails, and also email the county council repeatedly about all of my great ideas. So you'll keep hearing from me.
All right. Again, as Kelsey said, myself, Kelsey, Dave Weston, and Barbara's terms are coming due at the end of this year. We're going to, I guess, Kevin, I don't know exactly what we need to do as the board to get things in gear. But I, you know, if I remember last time they advertised all four positions, or however many board terms are expiring. And then if we were going to, or wanted to continue on, we were to send in our letters of request and our resumes and all that good stuff. Is that still the process as I understand it?
As I understand it, yes. Council's office usually facilitates the advertisement and receipt of letters of interest and or application materials for advisory boards. And then that stuff, that those materials are handed to the facilitators of the various advisory boards. So that would be park staff to work with Parks Advisory Board on however we decide to. I think in the past there have been some Parks Advisory Board members involved in the evaluation of those various letters of interest and application materials. So with four of you being up for renewal, we'll have to discuss how we do that and make sure that it's, you know, fair and transparent and all that good stuff. We have a rubric or whatever, but yeah, I mean, that's all stuff that we can discuss with our communications office and refer to past practice and come up with a process.
Okay. All right. And I will let the board know and others
down the,
at next the month. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kelsey.
Oh, it's okay. So in the past, it has been the executive team that's reviewed and given our top two to the top two or top three to park staff, who has then sent those on to county council. My concern is just the whole executive staff is up for renewal. So if we all don't renew, we're going to have some sort of subcommittee probably step in to review those applications. But every time we go through this, we cannot remember how we did it previously. So I just want to throw it out there. It's been the executive committee, and then we make two recommendations, usually rank them, and then the county manager has approved our recommendation. So
yeah, and I think Kevin, I don't know where we are on the parks director position. Is that
it's nearing completion is my understanding. The public works director, the interim public works director, Eva Haney, is has been leading that process. She's done interviews, and I believe that she's about ready to make an announcement on that. So we should hear something very soon.
Okay. All right. And I, on a personal basis, I will let everybody know in October, before our October meeting, where I am on my decision. I have some life things that over the next 30 days, I'll know which direction, what things are going. So that will impact where whether I continue on or not. So, but can't really make that decision right at the moment. So that's just a personal statement from myself. So I'm not trying to be coy or anything like that. I just gotta see how some things pan out. So, all right, let's see, what else do we have? That's it for new business. We're down to roundtable discussion. So I will go down the list here again on the left side, and then we'll go to anybody else. Kelsey, anything else? You're on mute if you're trying to talk.
I don't see Kelsey in the queue anymore.
Yeah, she was cutting in and out, so we might have lost Kelsey. All right, and then as for myself, I really don't have anything else to add for this meeting. Stacy, are you able to communicate? No, she's shaking her head no. If you want to put something in the chat, we can read that, but not sure. We'll go from there. All right. Barbara did not attend. John never made it. Dave, anything from you?
No, not at this time.
All right. Felix wasn't there. Nicole, how about yourself?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
been awful quiet, so. And welcome back to, I guess, welcome back to work. I'm not sure that's.
I'm 12 months, so.
All right. Delanne, you got anything?
Sure. I just wanted to say thank you to several of you that attended the golf tournament this past week. The weather was pretty decent. It wasn't too hot. We earned about $24,000 to help fund our various programs. So it was really a nice day to be outside, and it was nice to see everybody. We also have, as many of you probably are members of other nonprofits, GiveMore 24 is next week. And so if you would like to make a donation to the Parks Foundation, you can go on to the GiveMore 24 website. It's an annual day of giving here in the county. And of course, the Parks Foundation is part of that. And then we have Booville coming up in October, and it will be over at Vancouver Mall. Last year, we had about 550 kids. We're expecting 3,000 kids this year. So if you know of anybody that wants to sponsor the event, attend. We're probably going to be outside simply because of COVID. Who knows what that is going to do to things. And so we do have both an indoor and an outdoor version of Booville this year. But my guess and bet is that it will be outside. So it will be a walkthrough event outside, but it still should be pretty fun. We had a great time last year, even though it was drive through, and we're all looking forward and starting to prepare for that. So I went from golf to Booville. So there you go.
Tis the season.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right. Kevin, how about yourself?
Yeah. I just want to say thank you to all of you who've served on this Parks Advisory Board. You know, Jay and Kelsey and Barb, those who have terms coming up, whatever you decide. Dave, you know, thank you for your service over these past how many ever years you've been doing this. Really appreciate it. Those of you that are here today, Nicole, Delanne, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. Thanks for participating. And yeah, just in general, anybody who's been involved, John, Spencer, all of you, just thank you so much for the service that you provide to the community and volunteering to do this. I know it takes time out of your busy schedule and time away from your family and things of that nature, and we just really appreciate it. So thanks.
No problem. Rocky, you've done a lot of talking today. You got anything else in the tank? I'm just giving you an opportunity.
No, I've got a lot of stuff coming your way, a lot of readings coming your way. So I'm just, you know, sleep, take your B vitamins, drink your green tea, because it's exciting stuff. It'll be have you on the edge of your seat.
All right. Alexandra, anything else from you?
I have nothing for the group, but thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, sure. Anytime. All right, folks. Well, with that, I'll call a meeting to order or to close at 5:20. Thanks for all your time, and we'll talk to you guys real soon.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.